Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Up, dog, fella. Look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform. Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fella.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Fella!
My man Obes, what's going on, fella?
Fucking mountain man, I got a question for you. How's the skin feeling? Are you, do you listen, as your business partner and you know, you're on television, I'm worried about your longevity. Do you change your skincare for when you're at the beach to when you get to the mountain? Do you have a Kiehl's program that you're using up there to keep that moneymaker looking good? Because it's a long stint for you up in the mountain. I don't want you turning into loops with the crusty skin, eh?
Funny, I tell you what, Obes, you're bang on. You gotta dial it in. I got the vitamin C after the exfoliation, which you gotta do every couple days. You gotta get this vitamin C cream on there, and then like this lauric acid or something. I'm totally butchering that, and then just moisturize like hell. But the one thing that always gets you up here, bud, and you'll know this more than anyone, is those old chappy lips, eh?
Oh my!
The lips get in one, and I've skied the last 2 days. And my lips, they feel like you just went Buck Diddy on, you know what I'm talking about, but just for too long.
Buddy, anytime I wake up there, and listen, I come in for 4 or 5 days and I'm getting drunk with Mackel and you and loops. But I wake up even with the old, what do you put in your rooms there to help you out? The old,
humidifier,
even
the
with
old
the
fart fire.
Yeah. Even the humidifier, I wake up lips, skin, head, few other things, but does it get any easier? It must get easier, right? As you get acclimated to it, or what? Like, or because to me, that's the biggest downfall about being at the mountain is the skincare.
Yeah, no, you know what? The oxygen, it's she's thin. Thin up here, bud. She's really thin. So even today, I was just walking around this morning. Went for a coffee. Had the backpack, the computer, a little Upshaw morning. It was thin air, bud. I was sucking wind. But the one thing you do get used to here is, just kind of that feeling of getting up and kind of having to get out. You got to find the energy a little bit, you know. You can't, like, the mountain air, you can't just kind of sit around. You got to get out there. You got to breathe in that fresh air. You got to kind of get back on track, especially come those Monday, Tuesdays after, like, a good long weekend, which this President's Day weekend, you know what it's like up here. There was a lot of action. There was a lot of talent running around. And, Tuesday mornings, not easy getting up. And I will say this, bud, it finally caught up to me. If you can't tell over there, I'm hoping this sounds pretty good, but I finally got a little bit of
you did?
That little O'Brien sinus thing goes on there. I finally got it, but she's 3.5 weeks in and I fucking just barely hanging on, fella.
Fella, I mean, that's impressive. Listen, not that I was wanting you to get sick. I was just like, we're bettors. I was playing the odds, DraftKings, baby. I'm like, this fucking guy just flew to Toronto, back, Vegas, Scottsdale, Aspen, skiing. He's around his kids. His kids are probably getting germs. If this kid doesn't get sick, he's got the best immune system. We won't have to stop calling him Half Chub and just call him fucking Dr. Immune or something, because I'm like, this guy's crazy, man. It's crazy. But I'm glad you're not too sick. You look all right, fella. Even when you get sick.
No, I feel
you're not like
I feel
me.
Good, but I feel good. But you're right. I will say this. Beckham, I don't know what it is with this little savage right now. Like, he's going to gymnastics. He's jumping around. Last night we had him at dinner. he wakes up at 3:30, 4 in the morning, and he's just like, he's got a ball of energy. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's got a little speaker in his room. He's just playing tunes or what the hell he's got going on, but he's up and he's driving his old man nuts. But,
yeah. Wow.
So, for the lack of sleep I'm having, I feel pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, 3:30 in the morning, I wonder where he gets that from, eh? I'm sure that's something that maybe, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there on that one, I would say. But Updog, good seeing you, my man. Let's get into our little weekly intro here. First of all, UFC 298. Shout out to the Honda Center. It was unbelievable. Highest grossing gate in Honda Center history. Highest grossing combat gate in Honda Center history. Billy Quinn, love him. What an absolute beauty. Loves fights. Sit beside him talking about, you know, when they're rolling on the ground and doing jiu-jitsu, that's when I turn to Billy and be like, you know, what, does he have him? What does he do? And Billy can walk you through everything. Like, he's so advanced up dog in jiu-jitsu. Shout out to my girl, Mac Miller, her first UFC fight. She loved it. Up dog. I went 3-for-4, and I was heading into the main event with Volk, and I had a 4-fight parlay, and I turned to Billy, and I'm like, I got to be honest with you, fella. I feel like I'm jinxing Volk a little bit here. Like, to hit a 4-fight parlay at UFC, you might as well go buy a lottery ticket. And sure enough, he came out. Unbelievable entrance up. He came out to a land down under. We were going Buck Diddy. Topuria got him with the right and knocked him out colder than piss on a plate. But, buddy, it was unbelievable energy. I want to give some love to Robert Whittaker. I don't know if you watched it, but if you want to go back and watch one fight, watch Robert Whittaker fight this Paulo Costa. Costa was a Brazilian male model, juiced up, perfect body. Like, the guy cuts 30 pounds to get to middleweight. He was probably up 220 in there fighting Whittaker, and Whittaker took a kick in the face ups, shook it off. That guy is an absolute G-uppie. He's a beauty.
So, going back to my question last week, Obes, about, like, these guys going the distance, was there any fight that you were like, man, these guys are just, they're absolute warriors, and no one will go down, and the fans, like, that's what get the, like, a knockout's great, and I heard Volkanovski took one just right on the chin, like you said, but was there any fight that just, like, the fans wanted to just keep going, and the guys just couldn't ask for more?
Yeah.
Was there anyone that stood out?
Yeah, there was two. There was, what's her name, Dern. Nikki Dern and Amanda Lamont.
Not the girls. Oh, did the girls go? Oh,
buddy,
no.
Buddy, they went. This Dern. Let me look up her first name here before I butcher it. Mackenzie Dern. She's actually pretty. She's cute for a UFC fighter, too. But yeah, take note. You know, she is one of the toughest girls. All her fights are an absolute war. In the first round, she got basically knocked out. Like, she was knocked out, rolled over, got up, got knocked down again, started doing high kicks, got out of the round, won the second round, and then fuck up dog, almost won the third round. Me and Billy, like, this chick is badass. She is badass. And then the Whittaker-Paulo Costa fight, Costa was getting hit and, like, smiling and licking his face and coming right back at him, and Whittaker was just jabbing him, and Whittaker got kicked in the fucking orbital bone with a reverse heel kick and just took it up and came back and won the fight. So those two fights were fights of the night, and the place was going bonkers.
So were you guys, like, on your feet for most of it? Were, like, is it the Honda Center? Was it the crowd? Was it like that? Were they, like, you know, sitting around waiting, like the Toronto Maple Leaf crowd, or were these boys just fired up?
I'll tell you where you do a lot of waiting at the UFC fight. You do a lot of waiting in the pisser lineup. The guys pisser, because all these UFC fans, right, they're all just fucking mutants, beauties. They're all just drinking these beers this big up you, maybe bigger.
Tall boys.
I'm thinking, man, you're going to have to piss. Like, every time you have one of those, anyways, the lineup to the bathroom was out of control. All I could think about is the Clippers guy. The stadium he building has more urinals than any arena in the world, so good call on him. The crowds was awesome, ups. It was awesome. You know who was there, actually? Remember your boy Bear from L.A.?
Yeah, of course. He's running the jewelry company down in Newport
Jackson,
Beach. Great
Jackson,
guy.
Jackson.
He's jacked right now. Jackson Jewelry. He's jacked right now.
He sat a couple rows in front of me with Quentin Rampage Jackson, whose fucking head is this big, and Chris Rockhold. And they had our security team around them, and they were just, I mean, it was a scene, to say the least. But I was thinking about you. I'm like, Updog knows that guy. We used to see him in Hollywood all the time. And then when we were leaving the fight, we were trying to jump in the sprinter with G Money, and the fucking Nelk boys came running out with that fucking Bob Menery tool, and they fucking were blocking the road. I'm like, get out of the way. we're trying to get in our sprinter van. And the Melbourne boys are like looking at me. I'm like, get out of the way, man. And it was just like.
I don't let him have it.
Oh, yeah, I let him have it. I'm like, get out of the way, boys. But it was unbelievable. And last but not least about the UFC, Ian Machado Gary, who's a good Irish guy that took his girl's name as his last name. Well, he got booed. He got booed right out of the building. Yeah. They had seen enough. I bet on him. And it was a guy that Billy trains with, Jeff Neal, who's an absolute killer. And I hated to bet against a Fortis MMA guy because I feel like I know safe their coach through Billy. And Billy trains there. And Damon trains there. But this Ian Gary just, he's so good up, dog. And he just kind of picked him apart. But the boo birds, they let him have it. They were booing him right out of the barn.
Well, is it because Neil's like a West Coast, like, I mean, he trains in Dallas, but is it just like the Irish, they didn't like him, kind of his attitude, what the hell was going on?
Yeah, it was more like he was just kind of jabbing him and kind of keeping him at a distance. And Jeff Neal has probably the biggest power in that division, which I believe is welterweight. So in Ian Machado Gary's defense, if you get hit with one of Jeff Neal's left bombs, it's good night, Jim Kite.
Yeah.
But listen, the drunk faithful in Anaheim, listen, they weren't having it. There was a lot of beer being – listen, shout out to the people that were there, Uppy. They were drinking. They were screaming. They probably did some fighting after, and they probably did some fucking somewhere, too. There was fighting and fucking after for sure, Updog. It was unbelievable. So,
good Saturday night fight and fuck. Yeah. UFC and Honda Center.
Yeah, and the guy that poured my – we came right in, section 209. That's right where the bar is. I go, give me a whiskey and ginger. And this guy's poor, Updog. I mean, he just – I don't want to say his name. I don't want to get him fired. But it was just, and I like Billy's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, keep that going, fella. Keep that going. So I only had to have about two or three drinks because this guy was pouring. So I didn't have to make too many runs to the bathroom is what I'm trying to say. It was good.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Updog, let's move on to some golf. Riviera, a place that we both love. I text K Wash and say, Washy, I'm watching the golf, buddy. I'm thinking about all the times me and you played there with the Updog. I hope all's well, fella. He just sent me back like 50 emojis, just like 50 golf.
From Cabo. That's how you text in Cabo. It's just all emojis.
Yeah. Listen, dude, I believe you took Hideki Matsuyama to win the TPC, to win the Waste Management. You had him.
I know I did.
You were on to something.
1 weekend too late, baby. 1 weekend too late.
Dude, he shot 62 up. He was unbelievable ball striking. Luke List, the Cali boy, played great, but Matsuyama, he striped it up. He had 62 at Riv on a Sunday. It was playing hard out there, man.
Buddy, I watched it. I watched a lot of that, actually. You know, shout out to the boys here. A lot of good golf fans here in Aspen. It was all over the TVs. The course looked unbelievable. Listen, after Friday's round, I took on DraftKings, I took Xander Shifley at plus 5,000 to win outright. And, buddy, if he didn't chip in for eagle on the back nine, I think it was like 11. Let me think. Yeah. Number 11. He chips out of the bunker to tie for the lead. And at that point, there was a five-way tie on the back nine on Sunday for the lead. And I had a guy that was $50 for $3,500. It was a great bet. And then Matsuyama just went buck diddy. He almost got the hole in one on 16. Was it 16? Yeah.
16 par three.
Yeah. So nice. Just a tight little green. That pin was just tucked behind the bunker. But I mean, to birdie, I think he birdied four of the last five holes. That's just incredible. And you know, for all the golfers out there, they love that course. I think you just kind of see how they walk around the fairways and how they just, it's such a challenge for them. We know what a challenge it is. You know, it's arguably LA's best course. And when you get to see the pros out there just taking good hacks, you know, and you know, minus 17, that's a good four rounds.
Fuck yeah.
In conditions like that.
Are you kidding me?
You know, a great field.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
$20 million purse on the line. 20 bananas on the line. You want about LIV Golf, but there you go, boys. $20 million on the line at Tigers Tournament. Listen, the number one uppy, which is probably one of the best starting holes in all of golf, right? Remember, even when we play there, you walk up, you're with your member, they introduce you as a guest, Scotty Upshaw, Big Canyon Country Club, and you shit on a fucking driver all the way down to almost where the ravine is. Dude, these guys played number one, 186 under par. 186 under par.
Wow.
I usually make six there. I got to hit two balls usually. Hey, Loops is still playing number one. Yeah. Loops hasn't finished, but 186 under up.
186 under. It is arguably a shorter par four for them, in all honesty. Now, that ravine comes into play, but they go – They'll hit 3 wood, 6 iron.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that green is big. You know, there's areas of the green on number one you can tuck it, which means maybe it takes eagle out of play, but definitely not birdie. And, you know, for a short par five, it's a par. But it just shows the depth of that golf course, right? You start off like that, and then you go to number two from the tips.
Oh.
And that is almost longer, harder. That should be the par five. One should be the par four. Two should step up. You're into the wind. You got the driving range on your left, so you can't pull it left. Right, you're fucked in the long rough and trees. Up to an elevated green. I mean, number two is as hard as it gets. So a great way to start a tournament off. But, you know, just to see those pros play such a great course like that, it could arguably be a master. It could be a major. My apologies.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're speaking about taking Xander. After the second round, that fucking nerd biscuit Cantley had a 5-shot lead. And I'm like, this kid went to UCLA. He played Riviera. It was his home course. I look it up on DraftKings. He's minus 250. I had it punched in up. I had it punched in. And then I went, you're going to bet on a guy that you can't stand? Took it out of there.
You can't do
Took,
that.
I
would never do that. I
thought about it. I thought about it. And then I'm like, what are you doing, Meat? Meat, what are you doing? And I fucking took it out. And in typical Cantley fashion, he shit his pants over the weekend. Hey.
Yeah, he sure did.
He needs to get some new outfits, no? Like, we're trying to sell the game here. Like, what is he wearing out there?
How about getting a tan? You live in Southern California. You're like, get a tan. Take off the khakis. You know, pull the pants up a little bit.
Get
them hemmed. Put some good shoes on. Smile. How about that? Start with smiling.
No kidding. Up dog.
Guys.
I just wanted to say, and listen, we've been lucky enough to play Rev. The back nine, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Good luck. You got to hit one right to left. You got to hit one left to right. You got to hit all the shots. I mean, when I watch those guys play those holes, they even struggle. It's an absolute peach. Tiger, unfortunately, had to withdraw. He had the flu or something. I thought maybe he had some bad sushi the night before. You have to do the old green towel. I throw Tiger the towel. I give the old arse a wipe on the front nine. But up in all seriousness, I watched him warm up on day two, man. He looked like me after, you know, 3 days of Bonnaroo. Stiff, could hardly bend over. It's sad, man. It's tough to watch. It really is. I mean, Uppy, when he was walking up the stairs on the second round to get up to the number one tee box, I didn't know if he was going to make it. I was yelling, someone help him. Someone grab him. Like, it sucks, man.
Is there an argument to be had about, you know, if we want Tiger in these tournaments because people will obviously watch him, can he not take a golf cart? Is that like you can't, right? You got to walk this event to be sized up against all the other guys, but you are Tiger Woods. Like,
yeah.
We want you in there, but you can't. You know, unfortunately for us, we love him, but we've seen this fall from grace, you know, more than once with Tiger. It's like you can't just start off and then round two look like you just can't walk.
Yeah,
and then the ambulance show up and it becomes influenza, which. I think you're taken out of the golf course because you can't walk. He couldn't pick up his tee, and that just hurts to watch. It hurts us guys who all love him, who all think, you know, Tiger is the guy that's always stood on top of the mountain and looked down at everyone. And now, you know, now we just it's sad. It sucks. But he looked rough. He either looked really hungover or fucked up, or he just couldn't. You know, he couldn't walk.
I know. I hope he was hungover. Tiger, if you're hungover, it could happen to anybody. Listen, he's still hitting it plenty far. The first round, he was out driving Justin Thomas. Listen, he made 5 birdies in the first round. He just made 6 bogeys, and then he shot a shank on 18. Like, I just think the walk, and you know, I mean, not so much you, your back's pretty good, but me, when I play 18 holes of golf, and I'm not comparing myself to a pro golfer here, but my back's in one after golf. It's so hard on your joints and stuff. I just think there's nothing he can do about it. But last but not least here on this tournament, the PGA Tour disqualified Jordan Spieth for not signing his scorecard correct. Uncle, enough of this shit. If I'm the commissioner, Jay Monahan, I'm calling the tournament and saying, hey, I want Jordan Spieth. He was in the mix. He's -5. I want Jordan Spieth in the tournament for the weekends. So fix the fucking scorecard and he's playing. You can't have Jordan Spieth, who's in contention at Tiger's tournament, not play because of a scorecard up, dog.
Buddy, that's the biggest joke in pro sports right now, I think. You know, what happened to DJ, you know, at Whistling Straits that one year in the bunker, which was the pot bunker? Figure out these rules. I mean, there's too much at stake. And what you said, people tune in to watch Jordan Spieth. Yeah. Two-time Green Jacket winner, three-time major winner, I think. It's like, come on, boys. He's on camera. You know what he's shooting.
Exactly.
It's not like he's in the rough fluffing up his ball, or you know, he's dropping one in his pants. You know, he's going in the bush and he's coming out, you know, scot clean.
Yeah.
No. This is fucking, we're talking scorecard issues here, guys. What are we talking about? This wouldn't happen on the LIV Tour. They'd figure his shit out.
100%. With technology the way it is now, I get it. It's a tradition of the game. But just figure it out. There's no need for Jordan Spieth not to play the weekend at Riviera when he's in contention. It's, come on, PGA Tour, figure it out here. Like, you've already got enough strikes against you right now, in my opinion. And listen, Riv was unbelievable. But you turn on I believe it's the tournament in Mexico this week. Turn that one on this week and watch that field. It ain't going to be perfect. So, you know what I mean? Like, no. When you have your star players because of a missigned scorecard, come on, man. It's a joke.
Do you know, was it his fault or was it the other guy's fault, Obes? Did you hear about it?
He said he went to take a piss and he came back and the scorecard was gone. He's like, fucking. And he thought it was all right. And then they found out later that, I don't know if that's entirely true. Sometimes I get duped by these guys on social media. They always get me. But I heard that he went to take a leak, came back, card was gone, went and grabbed some lunch, maybe a quick soak. And then they fucking texted him and said, wow. Fella, jump on the private bird. Your tourney's over.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, stupid.
It's actually one of the craziest things ever now. That's why do they even carry a scorecard? Let's be honest.
Totally.
Why doesn't it just be populated by the guy that follows them? Everyone has, you know, a tee guy following them. You know, a greenskeeper, rules keeper.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
I agree.
Fucking enough.
I agree. And with the technology, figure it out, PGA Tour. But a great week at Riv. Updog, we'll be right back. I'm missing curfew.
Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Fella. Welcome back to Missing Curfew. Uppy's World. Party time, Aspen, Colorado, Amex Bills going through the roof, Aspen Mountain, Uppy's World.
The Amex card's blown up, boys. Oh, what a weekend. Listen, shout out to all the boys here at Aspen. It was a great time. Highlight, though, first tracks, but we got a snowfall Friday night. We left Joffrey's girlfriend Ariel's birthday. We had a birthday at Campo.
I saw the cake, bro.
I saw the cake, right? Little dog cake.
Holy fuck.
I mean, she had to be one up from the cake she got loops. I actually text Connolly. I said, do you have a picture of you ripping that dog's head off? And he's like, he writes back, buddy, I still got that in the freezer. I still got the dog's head in the freezer. Oh, it's so good. So we had a great party. And then listen, we walked to the Snow Lodge after dinner, and the snow was coming down, Obes, and I was like, I'm going home. I'm getting a good night's sleep. I'm waking up at 8 o'clock. I went and met our boy Marty and Noah and Dolly for first tracks, which is where you get to go on the lift 45 minutes before everyone else. And you grab an instructor. We had this Alex Wood. This guy's a legend. He's been here forever, played college football in Colorado. He's best buddies with Gretzky's boys. So as soon as we got on there, he sent Ty a selfie of us, and he's like, wow, you know, I have the best time with these guys when they're here. This guy took us on, Obi, we did probably 6 or 7 runs, all double blacks. It was my second day skiing all winter long. And we crushed all the best runs on Ajax Mountain and then went to Bonnie's for a proper gentleman's brunch. And then, you know, it was Saturday of President's Day, so we just started letting it eat. And then from there, we went over to Snowmass. So we did 2 mountains. I went over to Snowmass and got to ski with Adam Bremen, who, you know, shout out to Noah, who's, you know, studio I'm in here right now. But Adam's his brother and, you know, can't walk. And he's been like that since he was a kid. And this guy was on skis, Obes, and we all skied with him for about an hour. And he was ripping down the hill with one of an instructor that had him on like a little chariot. And it was awesome, buddy. He loved it. Loved every second of it. So it was a highlight of our weekend. And just, you know, Aspen on President's Day, buddy, the DJs and the tunes and the babes and the drinks. It's just all time. So we had a blast. And it was a good way to spend Uppy's World for the weekend, fella.
Yeah, I've been there on President's Day. It's a great time until you get the bill at the end of the weekend. Then you're like, fuck, was it that? Yeah. Was it really that fun? I don't know if it was. We, you know, the table was $10,000. You know, we got to split that up with Loops and the boys. But no, I saw some pictures of people that I recognized up there. Evan was up there. Hey man, you got to be careful with those fresh powders. Like, have you seen the video of the snowboarder that gets caught in the tree and then he's in the snowbank and the guy's got to be careful, fella. Got to be careful up there.
Well, buddy, I'll share this with you. Dolly, who was videotaping us at Snowmass, who's been a snowboarder his whole life, he was on one of those where you go from, you know, one mountain to the other mountain. You're just like kind of cruising. I think it's traversing. Buddy, he just fucking catches an edge, flies into a tree. Noah and Marty are there, seen on site. He was videotaping it at the time, so he has the full crash on his own video. But this can happen to anybody. But yeah, it was quick. So like you just said, you know, heads up.
Heads.
The boys, and we weren't even that drunk. I think we had a couple little, you know, we were microdosing little mushroom chocolates, which were fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, at any time like that, you can just fucking booyah right into the bush, bud.
Yeah.
You hit a tree full on.
The mountain's like the ocean. You got to respect her, fella. That's why I just stay on the blues. Stay on the blues. I like to stay on the blues, eh? Off the glass and out. But Uppy's World, party time, Presents Weekend, MX points. You. Loops actually texted me on yesterday and said, hey, you like the over in the blues leaf scheme? I said, listen, I like the over anytime the Leafs and Austin Matthews step on the ice. It's never a bad bet. I said, is it a day of rest? He said, yeah, fella. You won't see me on the gondola today. I said, Loops, that makes me proud, fella. Put the feet up. Enjoy the hockey. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. By the way, was it an over? I saw
Matthews 4-2.
It was 4-2, right?
Yeah.
4-1.
Yeah. I think it was 6.5. So the missing curfew. Oh. Dog of the week, up dog. My former teammate, I play with in San Diego, Chris Wagner, former Boston Bruin. He's been battling some injuries. He was down in the minors with the Colorado Eagles, the American League team of the Avs. Anyways, he played his first game for the Avalanche the other night. He had a couple big, big hits, up dog. He's a perfect fourth-line center. He hurt his Achilles during training camp, Prince he has here. He's a perfect fourth-line center come playoff time. He played unbelievable his first game. Hits, face-offs, blocking shots, killing penalties. He's a great kid. So up dog, Chris Wagner. Wagsy, you're the missing curfew. Dog of the week.
Dog of the week.
You're going to love this kid's game.
I will say this too, buddy. Great guy at a wedding. He was at our boy Hazy's wedding, and boy, was he high-stepping.
Was he?
He was leading the charge at our, what is that? American History X. Project X back at the bridesmaid's house. Boy, did we send it. And Wags was leading the charge. So
yeah,
brings the energy on and off the ice. So dog of the week.
He was in San Diego and he had no business being in the minors that year. Right. And I'm like, he come in grumpy and I'm like, fella, listen, you're going to play in the league. You're playing in San Diego. You're playing all kinds of minutes. Just enjoy it. Right. Go out and get drunk and fucking have a good time. Because when you do get to the NHL, you're going to be playing on the fourth line. And if you turn one puck over, you're going to be sitting up in the press box. So try to enjoy your time down here. And once he did that, he started playing even better. And then, boom, he was gone and never came back to our team. But Alpi, I really think he's going to help the Avalanche. They need a guy like that. Parisi's starting to get better each game up. It's his first couple games, not perfect. Kind of looked like me out there. A little slow. A little slow.
That's okay. Depth, baby. Yeah. It's depth that matters. You know that.
Yeah.
Veteran depth.
I love it. Wait, Wagsy, stay healthy. He's a perfect fourth-line center for them. Get this guy a beer, presented by Labatt Blue, the Pristine Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Up dog, my man, get this girl a beer. How about these ladies? 19,285 sold-out barn at the Scotiabank Arena. It set a record for a women's hockey game, Toronto versus Montreal. That is National League. Good on these girls. Hey, listen, I wasn't sure. You know, I was happy they were getting their own league. But at the end of the day, people got to watch. People got to pay to go see your play if you want to be a professional league. And this up dog is National League. This is National League beyond National League. Good on those girls. I've watched a little bit of it. They play hard. I think they should allow hitting. I think they should take that rule out because they already bang a little bit out there. But get these girls Labatt Blue up. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, you're seeing people show up to these games, Obi, and they bring their kids, their families, whether it's daughters or sons. These girls are coming out and they're playing hard. And it's great, man. I mean, I'm speaking as a girl dad. Like, I'm speaking as a girl dad who wants to bring, you know, Izzy's 3.5 now. I want to bring her out on the ice. I want her to play hockey. I want her to play with boys and girls. But at the same time, to have a league to maybe work for and to, you know, build a brand and have a career with. And for these girls, and shout out to Aaron Ambrose, who we had on the pod, is playing for Montreal. This is all time, man. Just an opportunity. You know what it's like. Half the games we play in the NHL, you don't play in front of a sold-out barn.
Yeah.
And this is incredible. So to everyone in Toronto, to everyone across Canada, to everyone in the U.S. supporting this Women's League, good on you guys. Good for families. And it's just well done. A tap on the back for everyone that was part of bringing this and bringing this to life. These girls love it. And you're seeing them out there playing harder than most NHLers, to be honest, buddy. It's no hiding that these games are somewhat, you know, more entertaining and physical than we catch, like, you know, your ordinary Leafs game.
Yeah, I watched Tampa play Ottawa last night. It was one of the worst hockey games I've ever physically witnessed. It was just an awful, awful hockey game, and Tampa was awful. But anyways, listen, the first thing I thought as an ex-player, if I'm a girl and I'm on that, you know, I talk to the union, hey, if we're selling out rinks here,
yeah,
bump up our salary here. Bump up our salary. I guess it's baby steps, but hey, 19,000. Let's go, pay these girls. So, up dog, you're dishing out a blue. You're dishing out a blue light, fella.
Are you kidding me, Obi? Of course. Listen, Austin Matthews, AM34, back to back Hatties this week. 11 goals, fella, in 8 games since the All-Star break. He snuck another one in last night again. He's on pace for 75 tucks. He's got 49 goals in 53 hockey games, brother. The fact that I'm even saying that to you from Aspen across this computer screen to our studio at Hall Pass, the fact that a guy almost went 50-50 is so impressive. To be able to say that, Austin Matthews, what you're doing, you're absolutely fucking. Go have yourself a couple of Bat Blue Lights. But keep it rocking, man. I want this to be, you know, a bar set for all these young kids to come out and work for years and generations, because he's a generational goal scorer, Obes. And what are we going to see? Are we going to get 70, 75, perhaps 80 if he keeps it up? It's impressive, bro.
I mean, he's got 11 goals in 8 games since the All-Star break. You know, I heard some stuff in Canada. They're already talking, like, is he the greatest Leaf ever? Like, yeah. I mean, yes, you're right. And I love Matt Sundin. I love Dougie Gilmore. I love Wendell Clark. You know, he hasn't had the playoff success that he's wanted, but it hasn't been on him. I mean, what he's doing it's absolutely insane. And the thing I love about his game the most is he plays hard every fucking night. And if you're other guys around the league and you watch Matthews, like, yeah, he's very gifted with his release. It's next level. But he competes there night in and night out. So love watching him play. Like the Updog said, get a blue light in you. Calvin Pickard. I played with Picks. He came up. He was our third goalie in Colorado. Got to be honest, Ups. I used to light this guy up in practice. I'm like, fuck, I don't know. I don't know if you got what it takes if I'm going high spink dink on you here. But listen, he's a journeyman. He's won 6 in a row for the Oilers. I took him on Saturday against the Stars. He played unbelievable. Won me some money. So Calvin Pickard, get yourself a blue light, fella. Anybody that spends that much time in the minors and comes back up, Uppy, I absolutely love it. So I'm happy for him. And then last but not least for me, Matt Rempe, Rangers debut. I was watching the game. We're going to get in the stadium series next. I was watching the game, and Steve Levy said in the pregame show, there hasn't been a fight in a New York Rangers Islanders game in 2.5 years. I wrote it on the milk carton. It was going on the milk carton. I'm like, this is supposed to be the biggest rivalry in hockey. There's not been a fucking fight. First shift in his first game, he drops the gloves with Matt Martin. He's 6'8", 240 pounds. The Rangers got two guys on their fourth line. One guy's 6'7", this guy's 6'8". Fights Matt Martin, sets the tone for the whole stadium series game, Uppy. He set the tone. We'll get into it. But anyways, Matt Rempe, get yourself a blue light, fella. Uppy, I thought it was unbelievable.
He's like the new boogeyman, fucking 6'8", 240.
Yeah.
I mean, heads up. And first game, you know what it's like first game, bud. You look back to memories like that, but your first shift, bro, 60,000.
Fuck.
How are you?
I couldn't imagine.
Let's go.
Doing the rookie lap at the fucking MetLife Stadium, too. That's got to be a nice feeling just by yourself out there looking around, being like, wow, National League.
Absolutely. The only thing is, you can't see any babes on the glass from that far.
That's true. And I'd rather see.
First game with no Bucky like that, you're usually like, hey, who's in the front row here?
Yeah.
You know, who's coming to show up? What am I playing for here today?
That's the best part. That's the best part of the game. Oh, God, I missed it. Princey wanted me to give some love here. Princey's giving out blue lights to another one of my former teammates. Great, great guy. Sean Monahan, another guy up here that's come back from injury, rejuvenated his career in Montreal. He just had a natural hat trick against the Calgary Flames. The Jets did not win the game. I can't figure Calgary out, man. They beat the good teams. They lose to the teams that they should beat. It's very interesting. I'm sure their coach is wondering the same thing. But Monty, get yourself a Labatt Blue fella. Natural hat trick up, dog. That's what I'm talking about.
Impressive. I got one of those. Just throw that in there.
Did you? In the NHL?
Yeah, the only one I ever got, bud. She was natural.
In Phoenix, right? I think I've seen the picture.
Yeah, it was all in the third, too, to beat Nashville, my old squad.
Fuck, how drunk did you get that night?
Pretty good. It was a Saturday. I remember my buddy Steve Daly was in town.
Wow.
And whether or not my girlfriend at the time was there, that was, I'm not sure. I definitely had a time. That was a green light, fella. That was flashing green.
That's neither here nor there. If your girlfriend was in town at the time, that's neither here nor there. But I can imagine you high-stepping at the fucking clubs in Scottsdale after that one. You must have been hair flowing, shirt buckled down. I got a couple more buttons down that day and just feeling it. Holding court.
Right to Mastro's Ocean Club, buddy, for a bottle of Opus 1 and a little butter cake, a little extra whip. Extra whip, fella.
That's nasty.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. Thin to 200-300.
To league. Get this guy Labatt Blue. Get this guy Labatt Blue. Presented by our good friends at Labatt Blue USA. Up Dog Stadium Series. Go ahead, fella. You know how I feel about these normally. Did you watch both of them? Did you see clips of it? What'd you think?
You know what? I caught, obviously, Flyer alumni, bud. Loved the jerseys. So I caught the Devils Flyers the opening game. I thought it'd start off with a bang. Nico Hischier, breakaway, opening shift. Got the game going, got the fans into it. You just touched on the Ranger game, fella. I caught that game late, and I'll let you dive into that. But that was an incredible finish. Down two goals, tie it up. An epic goal in overtime by Panarin. You know what? These were two of the better games I've ever watched in NHL stadium history. We've got the Winter Classic, which is, you know, the pedestal of outdoor hockey for the NHL, and now these new stadium series. I thought that the teams matched up well against each other. God love your boy Torts out there. But overall, a success this one is, bud. MetLife Stadium, I think, was a great host. And, for this to be something that they're going to do, I think, again, next year is going to be Chicago and St. Louis?
Wow. No, listen. So the Winter Classic, is Chicago and St. Louis, which I think I get it. Yeah. You got to get Bedard in there. But the NHL has announced the Stadium Series will be in Columbus next year at Ohio State Stadium. How do you like that?
I tell you what, I won't be there. How's that? There's a lot of things that will bring me back to Columbus. That's definitely not one of them.
Yeah, just with the NHL, I didn't watch the Devils Flyers one. I was at the UFC fights. First thing I want to know is, how did Frosty's hair look? Did he have a toque on, I wonder, or did he let it flow? I'm hoping he let it flow and that wore a scarf or something. Did you notice?
Buddy, this is so great. I'm tuning in. I got Beckham on the couch, and I get a text from Frosty not 30 minutes before the game starts, and he goes, the boys want to know if they should wear a scarf out there. And I said, I look through my photos and I find the one of me at the Winter Classic with the scarf. And I just go, just show him this and tell him, does this not look fucking great?
Yeah.
And sure as shit, I know Jack Hughes didn't wear one out there, but he said, I go, is it cold? And he's like, yes, it's freezing. I go, then tell the boys to wear a scarf. Tell them to fucking wrap it up nice, put the toque on, get the little black under the eyes, and just get out there and start mucking.
That's called accessorizing. Fucking right, you put the scarf on. Hey, I'm wrapping around there, eye black. Listen, I'm still not thrilled how these guys can go no bucket for the Stadium Series and the Winter Classic, but then the NHL tells them they can't do it for the rest of the games. I don't get it. Why? Because you want to sell the toques? Let the boys go no bucket whenever the fuck they want, please, because it looked great. It looked great. It looked like NHL. Uppie, I hate the Stadium Series games. I hate the Winter Classic, but I must say, this one was the best one I've ever watched. Shout out to the Rangers fans and Islanders fans. The atmosphere was unbelievable. The game did not disappoint. I think the fight right off the get-go was huge for it. Yeah, man, I thought it was a great, great hockey game. I had the Rangers, so I was loving it when it was coming back. Listen, the refs at the end of the game, they're probably penalties ups. They're probably penalties, you know. But at the same time, like, fuck off a little bit. And I had the Rangers, right? But at the same time, I'm thinking this poor Mayfield kid, his stick gets caught in there. It's a penalty ups. It is. But I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, a great comeback, but it was just three or four penalties. There's a reason the Rangers came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and you got to look to the refs to try to make it interesting, right? They're down two. It's four. It goes 4-on-4, and then you're right. I think the guy steps on a stick, Obes, and it's 4-on-3, and they were out there for about a minute and 45, and finally, I think it was Zibanejad, rip one, and Kreider, or it was Panarin with a Kreider tip, which how many times does that happen a year? This Kreider gets about 50, just standing in front of the net, no one touching him. And then a late tie by Zibanejad, what a shot. And then in overtime, you just know the Rangers, after peppering them and coming back from two, that it's their game to win or their game to, you know, to lose. It was great. You're right. It was one of the better games I've watched, and congrats to you. Is that a nice little G-note there?
That was a G-note for me, baby. I was loving it. Listen, Adam Fox, I think last week on this podcast, on our pod, I said he's got slow boots, which I still believe in, but what a dish to Zibanejad. He came in and was looking this way the whole entire time and fucking, I'm throwing lots of F-bombs today, and slid it all the way over to Zibanejad right on a tee-up dog, and he ripped it home. The bread man, I mean, you know what? Vincent Trocheck, I'm telling you, Ups, this guy is legit. I mean, he was one of the reasons they came back as well. The thing about I love about Troch is just play physical, gets in there, competes every night, right? Like, that's what's great about him.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at that battle with that Romanoff, the guy that had the welding mask on. I mean, he wasn't backing down. And it went face-to-face. These two guys ended up, you know, going at it 4-on-4. It started the whole melee for the guys to come back. But Troch, look, big fan of the pod. He's getting better and better by age. By the way, his nose looks like he's been punched a few times in the face. Doesn't it?
No, he has.
He never used to have a nose like that.
No, that's what playing the legal do, eh? That's what playing the legal do.
Look at that
nose banged up, dog. Look at that nose banged up. But
by the way, you know this too. I miss getting punched in the nose. It feels good.
I'll punch
you. Watery eyes. You know you're doing something right if you get punched in the face.
I'll punch you next time I see you. We got some fella gloves here. I'll give you a little stinky glove next time I see you. But listen, Rangers fans, they're awesome. I got to be honest, they're awesome. And that Rangers goal song when they score, man, it's unbelievable. When they start cheering, it was an unbelievable atmosphere. And listen, I love outdoor hockey. I'm not saying we shouldn't have outdoor hockey. I just think there's so many cool, especially in the United States of America, cool places where you could, you know, could you build an outdoor rink with 10,000 fans at the Grand Canyon? Maybe you could. Could you do it at the Hoover Dam? Maybe you could. Could you do it at Lake Tahoe? You know what I mean? Like, build a little arena, but make it more for made on TV, right? That's what I want. I love outdoor hockey. We grew up Fort Mac, you freezing your balls off, me, Port Hope. I love outdoor hockey. I just don't think that I think it's lost its luster a bit, Uppy, but this game was unbelievable. It had me thinking maybe I'm wrong because it was that special. And I think it had to do with because it was New York, and the Rangers fans and the Islanders fans, and a great game, and there was a fight. It was pretty cool, Uppy.
Yeah, no, it's well said. And what better place than Aspen? Let's just get Sheldon to build one. I mean,
if you build it, they will come.
You got the backdrop. You got the restaurants to go to after the game. You got the clubs. You got the babes. I mean, what better place than Aspen to host maybe the next one, fella?
There you go, buddy. And listen, I will say this before, as much as I shit on the Stadium Series, they still should have one at the Rose Bowl. NHL, get one at the Rose Bowl. Kings, Vegas, let's get that done. Fellas, Lucy is upping the nicotine pouch game with Breakers. Pouches packing a little something extra inside. 4 or 8 milligrams of tobacco-free, 100% pure nicotine. 6 delicious flavors, unique ones like apple ice or espresso, and classics like mint or mango. Break up with your dusty gas station pouches and go to lucy.co. Okay. Break up with your dusty gas station pouches and go to lucy.co/curfew and use promo code curfew to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and use code curfew to get 20% off and always free shipping. All right, fellas, here comes the fine print. Lucy's products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Up, dog, moving on the milk carton. First of all, listen, the Sopranos one by the Devils, unbelievable. So good. The Rocky outfit by the Flyers, so good. The New York Rangers walking in with the New York City Police uniforms on, I thought was great. And I hate to bag on the Islanders here again, but I just didn't quite understand what they were dressed up as. They were supposed to be Lou Lamoriello. Did not allow them to wear a walk-up outfit to the game. Oh, here it is. All right, well, then I'm putting Lou Lamoriello on the milk carton. Princey's got it right here. Lou Lamoriello did not allow them to wear a walk-up outfit to the game. All right, Lou, you're on the milk carton, godfather. Don't have me whacked, all right? Don't have me whacked. But, Lou, come on, man. It's 2024. Everyone's dressing up. I mean, right, up, dog? I'm putting Lou Lamoriello on the milk carton for not letting the Islanders dress up.
You're a brave man, Obi. Before you know it, you're on Lou Island.
I know.
Who knows where the hell? Who knows where the hell you end up after that?
I'm gonna have to check my shoulder for fucking Lou Lamoriello coming to get me.
Listen, I'm not shocked. Lou Lamoriello makes all the guys shave their beards, shave their mustaches, cut their hair, dump their girlfriend.
I don't mind that.
He makes you do what? Yeah, he makes you do some odd things, and I don't know how many times this is we put him on the milk carton, but it's probably a baker's dozen now for things that, you know, probably shouldn't be done. I think the Stadium Series and the Winter Classic, these guys showing up, the Oilers showing up like they were oil riggers.
Yeah.
You had the, you know, the Flames showed up as firemen.
They showed up as Cowboys, didn't they, or something? Or maybe firemen,
yeah,
something
probably
like
Cowboys.
That.
Yeah, I think Weezy Baby had the tight pants on, the boots.
Weezy Baby.
But listen, I mean, it's for fun. It's what NFL guys do to bring people to watch the game. It's these
come on,
young
Lou.
Guys. I mean, come on, Lou.
Come on, Lou. Loosen up a bit, buddy.
Smile a little bit, Lou.
What do you got? 3 cups? You're a legend. Your bank account's probably looking pretty nice. Come on, Lou. Let the boys
dress up.
Yeah,
you're still a GM. You're like 75. I mean, come on.
You think Lou would want to be down in like Boca, you know, just hanging totally out. I don't know. Good for him. Up, dog, I watched the Lightning Ottawa Sens play last night, and I love John Cooper. I love the Lightning's new third uniforms, too, by the way. They had the old school symbol down the leg. But listen, with Shergachev going down, I saw a picture of him on social media. He's in New York rehabbing with his girlfriend, so it seems like he's doing all right. But listen, I got to put the Tampa Bay Lightning's defense on the milk carton, man. It is thin. It is missing. Without Hedman, I mean, they got Hedman and Chernik. Hedman's still a stud. Chernik is a top four. DeHaan. Listen, DeHaan, you've had a great career. You're moving like me out there, not very great. Hayden Fleury is a kid who we like. And then the wrestler back end, Radish and Purix, they're not – it's just uppy. It's thin. I think Julian Breezeball needs to make a trade sooner than later because I do believe they can get in the playoffs. I want Coop and the boys to get in. But up, dog, I'm putting their back end on the milk carton because it's just too thin right now.
Yeah, and for Coop, buddy, the run has been great, Obes, right? Like, we've had Tampa as the top dog team the last 6 years. I mean, it's been an incredible run. But right now, with the injuries and the back end, you know, do they go give up youth and give up draft picks for, you know, two of the Calgary Flames that are going to be up in the market, Tanev or Hanifin?
I mean, they need one guy like that. You need a guy to come in and play basically top pair minutes. I mean, Sergachev being out for probably a year is, you know, that's a dagger, bro. And if they want to save the season, they got to make a move. But if it is the end of the road for that run and those guys, you know, Stammer's up, is he going to sign? Is he going to stay? Hedman's played a ton of hockey, probably more hockey than any defenseman in the league the last 10 years. You know, there's going to be some decisions to be made. But if they think they can salvage this season, they got to go out and get a top dog like those two guys.
Yeah, I agree. It's Darren Radish. He's a good right-handed defenseman. And Nick, I'm going to fucking butcher this, P-R-B-I-X, Perdix? Nick Perbix? How do you say that, Ups?
Your guess is good as mine, fella.
Listen, he's not a bad right-handed D-man either. If I had a little advice to either one of them, quit sliding so much. Quit sliding on every two-on-one, they're both sliding. Like, just stay on your feet, man. Like, what are you sliding for? As soon as you slide, you're done. But listen, the Lightning were playing great up before Sergachev got hurt. Vasilevsky was back. He was 8-2 in his last 10 before the last two losses. They were trending in the right direction. It's a terrible, terrible injury and a huge loss for these guys. And on Cap Friendly right now, Updog, it says projected cap space, zero. I thought with Sergachev out, they might have a little room to maneuver here, but I don't think they even have room at all. Like, I don't know what they're going to do.
You got to trade for corn dogs there, because it's corn dogs, Jackie.
Yeah.
If you got to go to the distance with those guys in the back end, it's not looking pretty.
No, I mean, listen, Julian Breezeball, it's a tough position with the salary cap, but they got to do something up because they are in the mix right now, man. They're in the wild card position. As of last night, they were still, let me check the standings here. They're still in the first wild card with 65 points. They're 5 points.
Are they up on Toronto?
Toronto's got 68 points. The Red Wings got 64, okay. But the next wild card team is New Jersey at 60. So right now the Lightning are 5 points in the playoffs. So they got to figure out a way to get somebody. I don't know if they can get a top dog like you're saying, but just go get me a legit NHL defenseman that's a 4 or 5. Something like that, because right now they can't win with that back end. So, and we're always pulling for Coop here at Missing Curfew. So
no, absolutely. And hey, listen, before last but not least for me, Milk Carton, I tuned into this game the other day. I'm sitting having a beer with Loops, and he's like, what the hell's going on with this? Minnesota-Vancouver 10-7. Three guys had hat tricks.
Yeah.
Are you not playing any defense anymore? Like, have a little pride in the game. You know, like, 10-7? You fucking almost 20 goals scored in a hockey game? I mean, for the fans and the kids, like, I get it. A lot of music out there, a lot of cheering, a lot of booing for, you know, for the opposition team. But I've never heard of that before. 10-7. You know, and yes, the game has changed. There's a lot of offense now. But, like, when you're going out there, you still got to play a little D. Your fucking goalie's, like, just leaving them out to dry.
Yeah, no kidding. Take
you
over.
I don't know about you and me, but you and me would have been screwed. We would have been sitting in the video office just, you know, made examples of. Like, what's Six doing here? Look at this Upshaw here. What the hell is he doing trying to make this play? You know what I mean? It wouldn't be all like the highlights of the offense. It'd be like, what the hell are these guys doing? And I just feel like, you know, we'll get into this next, but what, like how Torts is. Like, the game is just so changed that I feel like anyone, whether you're a first-year player, you're a 10-year player, you're an offensive guy or you're not, you're just making plays now with no, like...
consequences.
You know, no consequences, fella. It's crazy. 10-7.
It's like if your girlfriend never gave you shit for going out all the time, you'd go out all the time, right? You'd be out all fucking night until she says, hey, fella, you've been out 5 days in a row. Yeah, there's no accountability to bad plays, in my opinion. And it's league-wide now. It's like, well, okay, we'll get that one back. But I saw Tox's interview after the game, and he said, we didn't handle playing under pressure well enough tonight, which I thought was an interesting comment by him. And then he just said, obviously not good enough defensively. And for Vancouver, a team that's, you know, been playing great all year, Demko's been kicking. Listen, that mini team, we've talked the last couple weeks. This mini team's coming at the right time, man. They're playing great hockey. For them to put up 10 against you, though, they're not the most, you know,
no,
powerhouse up front. So, yeah, I was with you. I was concerned when I saw they gave up 10. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's a, yeah. I mean, Vancouver gave up 10, right?
Mini gave up seven.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I mean, you hope the coach is reaming both those guys
out, boys.
Yeah, what's that, Kyle?
I was going to say, you hope the coaches for both teams are just pissed at those guys, eh?
Yeah, that would be a long video session back in our day. I'll tell you what, The only thing worse than that is if you're on Vancouver and you didn't get a point, right? You lose 10-7, you didn't even get an apple. You're like, fuck, I was -2, I didn't even get a point. Eh?
What if you walked away with like five or six points? You're just like the happiest guy. That's cool.
Well, it was good for fantasy. The fantasy guys were stoked. I had Kaprizov, 3 goals, 3 assists. I kept him on my bench.
Oh, shit. Bummer. Learn from that. Yeah. No, Updog, you're right. You're like, if you come out of that game with like JT Miller, you get a hat trick. You're like, shake it off, boys. We'll get him tomorrow. Here, have a
exactly.
Have a beer. Have a
I
beer.
Was good. You guys sucked. Yeah.
I love it. The Updog putting the first place Vancouver Canucks on the milk carton. I love it. Credibility around here. Play some fucking defense, boys. That was the milk carton. Updog, a guy that you played with, an absolute legend. Jaromir Jagr's number 68 was retired in Pittsburgh. Our boy Robert Lang was there. First of all, what took so long? What? Why? Why? Why?
I'll tell you why. Because he's still playing.
He's still playing.
There was a chance he'd come back and play in the NHL still, this fucking old bastard. How old is Jagr anyway?
50.
I might go to my boy Marty here. Marty, how old is Jagr?
53.
53? He's still playing. He came in for warm-ups in Pitt, and it was great because all the boys came out with the mullets on, Sidney Crosby. By the way, Sid looked great fucking with that mullet. Stick handling in warm-ups. He actually looked like he was having a good time out there. But he came out, he did pregame skate with the guys, and he came out for warm-up, gave his, you know, his honorary salute to the crowd. The crowd loved him. I mean, Obi, you got to tell the story about, you know, Princey found a great thing on Talkit, but what Jagr ended up saying about his young girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Time.
It was unbelievable. He's 52 years old, and I guess you're right. He is still playing, so they couldn't retire his jersey. I mean, Talk said a great thing. Talk said Jagr had 900 people at his birthday party. 875 of them were girls. I responded, I like those odds, Talk. Hey, I like those odds. Hey, if you can't get laid that night, turn your dick in, as the boys would have said back in the day. And then Jagr, man, his speech last night, he went to his girlfriend, he thanked his girlfriend, and he said, my girlfriend's too young to remember, but when I played for the Pittsburgh Penguins or something, I'm like, what a legend, man. What a legend.
Yeah, no, I'm glad I got to play with this guy, man. He was, you know, for our era, Obes, like, he was a guy that just changed the game. You know, he won on different levels. His Stanley Cups, played alongside Merrill Lemieux, arguably, you know, that 1-2 combo was up top ever, you know, in the NHL. And then playing with him down the stretch, it felt like in Florida, every other game, he was, like, getting an assist or, like, a power play goal or a point, and he was, like, breaking every record. So it was like, I'm like, come on, Yogs. Like, can we just play the game here? Every time we fucking get a point, it like goes on the jumbotron.
Yeah.
To wait, like clap and smack the boards. It's like, it's painful.
You're like,
I like playing with you, but this is getting outrageous.
You're like, I got a reservation in my South Beach, Yogs. Would you quit getting the tie in the records? I know what you're saying because you're just getting in the flow and then they got to stop and he waves. I totally get what you're saying. It's like those ceremonies before the game. You're like, come on, man, let's get this game going here.
But as Frosty would tell you, man, the guy's an ultimate pro, and he took Barkey under his wing, and, you know, he enjoys the game. He still loves it, but like you said, it's about time. Pittsburgh was a place that this kid grew up, and that city meant a lot to him, so it was nice that they honored him the way they did. And I'd actually enjoy seeing a lot of older guys get an opportunity to come back like that. Like, I think that was really well done, and it kind of showcased how you can celebrate, like, one of your greats. Right, like have him out on the ice.
Yeah,
let him skate around with the younger guys. And you know what's funny is, I saw a photo on Yogs' Instagram talking about the new generation, and it's Evgeny Malkin and it's Crosby and Letang, right? And I'm like, buddy, these guys, that's not the new generation.
No.
These guys now have been around 15 years and won 3 cups together. Like, these guys are absolute Hall of Famers already in their own right. You know, you got to look towards the younger generation for that sort of comment. But it's nice that tradition's carried on in Pittsburgh. What a fucking dynasty they had back then, and they do now. And, you know, all in all, it was a successful celebration for Yogs.
It was unreal. The Pittsburgh Penguins, like you said, good luck. He took more, he practiced. He looked good. His feet looked a little slow, but he went posting in on either Jari or I don't know who their backup is there, Nolokovic or whatever, posting in on them. Went out for warm-up. He was going no bucket, just like the rest of the team went no bucket. Once again, the NHL let him. Just let these guys go no bucket, please, forever. It looks unbelievable. Uppy, I would have signed him to a one-day deal. I would have played him. Guy's still playing pro hockey. I would have said, listen, Yogs, go to the front of them on the power play, and you're going to play fourth line. If you're going to put Puljujarvi out there, I'd rather have Yogs at 52 years old. I would.
No kidding.
I'd rather have Yoggs than Puljujarvi. Sorry to beat up on this guy again, but I wouldn't let him play one game. I would have said, Yoggs, we're putting you in there. Get to the net front. Tip a couple in. Could you imagine if you would have got one at 52 years old in the show?
There's arguably a chance he could have got a pair. You play on the power play with Carlson.
Their power play Malkin. Sucks.
It's like Gensel, slide over here. We're going to throw Yoggs in. 68's going to take the net front here.
Listen, their power play couldn't be any worse than it's been all year. Their power play is just god-awful. And I don't know why with Carlson on it, but I don't know. He looked pretty good. Ups. If I was Mike Sullivan, I would be like, Yoggs, you're in tonight, buddy. Let's go. Could you imagine the building when he came out for the game? It would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we're on to something here. I mean, maybe there's a chance. Maybe they keep dogging it here down the stretch. I mean, they need some wins. Get him in there.
Get him in there. I agree.
I mean, you give a 2-year, and let's be honest, you give a 2-year deal to Puljujärvi. You can't give a one day deal to arguably the top five greatest players of all time who still plays hockey. I had to give it to him.
Dude, he's still playing. That's why. He's still playing. He's still in shape. Like, why not? As Miguel Hamel Jimenez said, the mechanic, they said, how do you stay young? He said, fast women and young, fast cars and young women. So that's how Yoggs is staying young too. So congrats to him. Speaking of young superstars, up dog, Loophole's boy's back, Connor Bedard. He's got the fishbowl on. So much for me thinking he's going to come back and have a little slow start. He's got 2 goals and 4 assists in 3 games. He's now got 17 goals. If he gets over 25, I owe Loops a G. Listen, this kid, man, special. He's going to win the Rookie of the Year, no problem.
Yeah, you made me pull it up just as you're speaking there. DraftKings Sportsbook has a minus 500 still for the Calder Trophy, and I think he missed, 14 games? You know, he missed 6 weeks. The kid's good, man. He's a generational player like we speak about. He's wearing that bubble now. He's playing just as good as he was when he was missing time. Or before he missed time. So, you know, heads up. It's his Calder Trophy to win. His team sucks. He has no players to play with, although Foligno, I think, is on a 6-game point streak. So good for him. Tip your cap. Well-deserved 2-year extension for Foligno. But I love watching this kid play. He scores last night on Carolina, and him and the goalie were getting into it. He fucking sniped one right past him and stared him down. It was an epic goal. Not many guys are shooting the puck like that nowadays, but... I think you might have your hands full there with that 25 goal marker against Loophole. You might have to bust out your checkbook, fella.
I need him to get hurt again. I need him like tweak a groin or something, or fucking get hit with a puck, or I don't know. Listen, what'd you say? He's minus 500 to win the Calder? Wow. Yeah, that is crazy.
It's his to lose. Yeah, it's his to lose, fella.
No, he's gonna win it. And listen, last night I had the Carolina Hurricanes -415. And it was 5-1, and then this Bedard kid starts just going off. I'm like, settle down, kid. If you end up costing me 4X here, I'm going to be really upset. But Carolina got it done. But Updog, DraftKings, baby. Last but not least here, future bets. We got one that the boys might want to tickle. You pulled it up before. What do you got there for DraftKings, baby?
Listen, for me, we just went over this. Auston Matthews, 34. What he's doing as far as goal scoring is something we haven't seen in generations, right? We haven't seen it since Brett Hull, Timu Salani, since the Gretzky era. He's on pace for over 75 goals. Right now, he's plus 450 to win the Hart Trophy. And for me, if you're looking at this, how do you not give a guy the Hart Trophy, which is, you know, the MVP of the league, for those of you who don't know, how do you not give it to him if he gets over 70 goals? To me, that's his trophy to lose. Right now, in the lead is McKinnon at plus 175. He's your horse. I know you picked him before the season started, Obes, and that would be a heartbreaker if he loses it, because he's had an incredible year. He's got a point in every game at home this year, right? That is insane.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he hasn't not got a point. What do you call that? The Pepsi Center? Is it still the Pepsi Center?
No, it's called Ball Arena now, but it was a Pepsi Center. The old Pepsi can when we played up, dog. Listen. I'll tell you what, you want to bet the Avalanche at home the rest of the way in here, boys, you'll make money. Bet them the rest of the way at home, you'll make money. The Oilers, too. But, I mean, updog, Matthews at plus 450 for the Hart is a great value bet, man. That's a great value bet.
It is. He's scoring goals like no one's ever seen in the last 20 years. And it doesn't look like he's slowing down. He's playing healthy. He's playing hard. You know, and the fact that Toronto's not, like, running away with the East, and that they're still in the hunt, means that he's going to stay hungry
It's like it's their team that's wrong. It's not him. You know, if they can jump on and chase the way he's playing, they'll be fine. But that to me just seems like a great bet. Plus 450 for Austin Matthews to win the Hart Trophy.
Oh, I love it. DraftKings, baby. Did you see McKinnon get hit in the nose of the puck last week? Right in the fucking B cup. I mean, he was standing back door, and it just, I mean, I was like, oh, even what's he making?
Anything but the B.
Yeah, he's making $12.5 million. At that point, he probably thought, is it even worth 12.5 bananas? It hit him, I mean, square. And then he got hit the other night against Arizona in the beak again. I'm like, oh, this poor bastard.
You see that Danny Heatley visor he put on?
Yeah, he had the welding shield on. Yeah, and you had to. He got hit so hard in the face here. So, Nate, keep going. I got him at plus, I think I got him at plus 600 or 700 at the start of the year, up dog. Last but not least, Kelly Chase. We're obviously thinking about Chaser. He's in a big fight right now. Shout out to his boy, Luke Chase. The old apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's playing in the SJ. 3 goals, 10 assists, 13 points, 97 PIMs in 38 games. Luke, you're my kind of player. Chaser, we love you. We're thinking about you. Updog, his son. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
He's a great kid. I miss him. He's you know, he's a young stud in St. Louis growing up there. And, I mean, we could have put him on the dog of the week, too, this guy. Kicks the guy's ass. He's going out there. He's playing hard like his old man would. So, shout out to that family. We're thinking about those boys, and we're pulling for our boy Kelly.
Yeah, and Luke, get Princey, find out Luke's address. We'll send him some merchandise up there in the SJ. He can wear a Missing Curfew hat to the rink on the bus. I'd take a guy like that on my team any day of the week. Up, dog, I take you on my team any day of the week, buddy. Thank you. Enjoy Aspen. Morgan, Kyle, Hall Pass Media, thank you. That was Missing Curfew.
Fellas.